Happy Thanksgiving week, month, year, decade. Yes. I'd like to just share with you for a minute what our theme is. Turn to Habakkuk, the minor prophet Habakkuk. How many of you have looked, you know that those minor prophets are there, but you hardly ever read them. How about it? Yeah, it's like, wow, what are they about? And then when you read one, you know, you don't know really. But maybe this morning, I believe, we can teach you something about this prophet as it relates to our lives in Thanksgiving. And I'd like you to look at the end of the book. We will start in the main message from the beginning of the book. But I'd like you to see these verses. It's really remarkable. Thanks, Pastor Mark, for the worship and the hymns. Aren't those good songs? Wow. I'd rather have Jesus, isn't it? Pastor Glenn Sawtell is with us today. Good to see you. Other visitors maybe here we have. We want to give you something. Okay, over here. Great. Good to have you folks. God bless you. All right, so chapter 3. And you read verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, we could put in there, though the car does not start, the computer goes down, nor fruit beyond the vines. Verse 17. Though the labor of the olive may fail, the garden crashes, right? The fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold. We lost sheep. Where did they go? They disappeared. We lost them. There be no herd in the stalls. This is all like financially, agriculturally, practically a disaster. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is an amazing place to be in our mind, in our life, and in our spirit. That we can take a hit, we can get hurt, there's some disaster, and yet I am okay. I can survive. I have God. I have God in my life. This is a way of thinking that we aspire to. We want to hear about it. Like, teach me, how could that be that I could have so much trouble and yet be really rooted and grounded in my faith and know that God is there, and actually He, the person of God, is actually who I rejoice in, who I know, who is sustaining me, upholding me, helping me, comforting me, filling me, and teaching me. That's amazing. So this is where we want to go today. Verse 19, the last part. To the Lord, the Lord God is my strength. Wow, what strength? Internal, spiritual, our strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet or hind's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. The elevated territory, the high ground that other animals can't go, but you can. Other animals can't get up there on those cliffs, those jagged cliffs, those high pinnacles. They're very treacherous for some animals. Their feet cannot do it, but these feet can, and your feet can. God makes your feet. You are able to be in that kind of like place and understand and relate to God and grow in him and learn from him. I used to think, you people are different from me. This is when I was first a believer. You people are nice people. You people seem to have it together. You people can make it. I'm different. I'm in the mud. I'm in the swamp. I got attitudes. There's no way. You're smarter than me. Smarter than me. Stronger than me. You are more capable. Then I learned that you are just like me. That you're messed up like me too. And then I learned that it was God that did it in your life. So that'll be our message today. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking very good today. Let me look at your feet. Your feet. Wow. Where'd you get those feet? Okay. Would you stand with me, please, just to read the scripture and turn to the book of Habakkuk. Thank you, choir. Choir's back and up and running. I think first time since the COVID that they've sung. Isn't it? Is that right, Pastor Steve?
What's that?
First time since COVID?
First time since COVID.
Yep. You're back. They're back. Hey, you're back too. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're back since COVID. You're back. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Right. Lord Jesus, for this day today, lively, deep, penetrating, important, relevant, that this would be relevant for us, Lord. We carry it home, this book of Habakkuk, in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. It will take a little concentration and a little bit of effort, but you're going to get a lot out of this book. There's really Habakkuk. It's unusual because Habakkuk, I'm just going to help you for a minute. Here's God, and here's Habakkuk, and here's Israel, and all of the problems. It'd be like the United States of America, and we look at our problems. And you can talk to the country, or you could talk to God, or both. But Habakkuk is talking to God, and he's very upset and very disappointed with his country. He is very upset with Israel, Judah, actually. There's two names. Israel's in the north, Judah in the south. And he's talking to God, and he's upset. And basically, he makes an argument, and he basically says, why? Why? Why is this happening? Why are people disobedient? Why are they rebellious? Why are they immoral? Why are they lying? Why are they deceitful? Why is this happening? Does any of that sound relevant to you and me? Why? You know, it's a good theme. I'm going to have you sit down in a minute, but not before you turn to the three chapters. Look at the three chapters and ask yourself, what is he saying here? Chapter 1, what is he saying? Chapter 2, and what is he saying? And chapter 3, what is he saying? Do you see it? I have you look at it just that way, just so that you could be challenged in your heart to read it later when you get time. I'm going to help you break it down. You're going to go to church today, and you're going to hear a message from the Word, from this prophet, the minor prophet. Before you sit down, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk means clinging or embracing. Maybe Pastor Steve, come on over for a second. I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to embrace him. Habakkuk or clinging. And who is he clinging to? God. Why does he have to cling to him? Because he's afraid. that he's going to be angry with him, and he's going to find fault with him, and he's going to accuse God and say, I'm disappointed. I am hurt by what's happening in my country, what's happening, related concept. Oh, he's leaving me. A related concept is, there are many of them. I lost a child. I lost a job. I lost a marriage. I lost my health. I'm in trouble. So I need to cling and talk to God. And help me, God. Okay, you may be seated. Thank you. All right, look at the few verses, chapter 1, verse 2. Read it out loud with me, loudly, okay? O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Whoa! Why do you cause me to see this trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife in our country, and contention arises. Therefore, the law, the Torah, is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Okay. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say something about making arguments to God. Be careful of it. You can do it. God loves you. God can handle it. But there are people that make arguments to God, and they're not listening for what he has to say. When you make an argument to God, listen. Wait on God, because he will answer you. Isn't that good? He will. Make an argument, I'm hurt. We learn this in the book of Job. Job is very troubled and very hurt in his life, but he can also listen. There are times when you're so hurt you can't listen. Then you kind of settle down. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, because God will answer. And he does hear when he talks back to Habakkuk. But what Habakkuk hears God say doesn't really help him in his argument. This is also interesting, because God is going to answer him, but it's not that satisfying. But it leads to chapter 2, another aspect of the story. It's very simple. There's about three parts here. I think maybe we could divide it into three parts. Number one is the argument, and then the answer that is not satisfying. And I'll tell you what it is. Habakkuk said, why is there this? Answer me, please. I'm listening. God says, the nation is wicked, and I will send the Babylonians. They're going to come and take over. They're going to bring judgment. They are my judgment on the wickedness. A foreign nation is going to come and is going to take over the government, militarily take over the country, and change things. There'll be a change. That answer wasn't satisfying to Habakkuk, because he said essentially, but they are just as wicked as the Israelis. They are a bad nation too. And now it comes to this second part, and it is, this is chapter 1, and this is chapter 2. In the beginning, Habakkuk says, chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. Doesn't mention the nation Babylon, but that's what he's referring to, because we know in history that is what happened. And it's a descriptive passage of an invading army. Verse 12, Habakkuk says to God, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are purer eyes than to behold evil." Habakkuk is touching the spiritual reality of God. And even though Babylon is coming to bring judgment, Habakkuk is looking for God. He is looking for righteousness. He's looking for truth. He has a higher understanding of God than just judgment. You are a God that judges, but you are also a God that loves. You are a God that is pure, a God that is righteous. What's the answer? And this is, you know, it goes from verse 12 down to verse 17. So that's that portion. There's much to say about it, I think, to go through it verse by verse, but that's not our message today. But a brief outline of the book to give you an understanding. This comes to a very important portion in the book, and it relates to us very much, and it is Habakkuk has a sense of God, just like me with Pastor Steve here. He's clinging to God in this way, that he's really understanding the nature of God in his heart. He sees the problem and he has the argument, but he's expecting more from God than an invading army. An invading army is like, I'm not denying it, but you, what are you doing? I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to understand life more than eye for eye. There's a problem in our country, but I would like to see there's an invading army, but I would like to know, I want to wait on you. This is Habakkuk 2 and verse 1. I will stand my watch. This is what he decides to do. He wants to hear more. I will stand my watch. He's actually on a wall. He's looking at the city of Jerusalem. He's standing on a wall. And he can look to the east and imagine Babylon. But he has something more going on. This is a spirit of God in you. You have a tragedy maybe in life. You have some pain in your life. You have some disappointment. But you are able to believe there's something more in life. You're anticipating it. So he's in this state of mind. He's waiting on God. This is chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. It's about a conversation that has a spiritual level to it, where he's able to wait and listen because he's clinging to this deeper life understanding that in our country, we see a lot happening, but there are many people in our country that are like Habakkuk, that are watching and waiting for God. I want to find God and see what he will say or what he will answer. This is a little bit of a diversion, but I want to get it in here. Ronald Reagan made these statements around regarding Thanksgiving time. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," he's quoting from 2 Chronicles. And then he comments, "Let us, young and old, join together, as did the First Continental Congress in the first step, humble, heartfelt prayer. Let us do so for the love of God and his great goodness, in search of his guidance and the grace of repentance, in seeking his blessings, his peace, and the resting of his kind and holy hands on ourselves, our nation, our friends, in the defense of freedom and all mankind now and always. The time has come to turn to God and reassert our trust in him for the healing of America. Our country is in need of and ready for a spiritual renewal. Today we utter no prayer more fervently than the ancient prayer for peace on earth." Thanksgiving in 1982, Ronald Reagan said, 200 years ago, the Congress of the United States issued a Thanksgiving proclamation stating it was the indispensable duty of all nations to offer praise and supplication to God. Above all other nations of the world, America has been especially blessed and should give special thanks. We have bountiful harvests, abundant freedoms, and a strong, compassionate people. I have always believed that this anointed land was set apart in an uncommon way, that a divine plan placed this great continent here between the oceans to be found by people from every corner of the earth who had a special love of faith and freedom. Our pioneers asked that he would work his will in our daily lives so America would be a land of morality, fairness, and freedom. Today we have more to be thankful for than our pilgrim mothers and fathers who huddled on the edge of the new world that first Thanksgiving Day could ever dream. We should be grateful not only for our blessings, but for the courage and strength of our ancestors, which enable us to enjoy the lives we do today. Let us reaffirm through prayers and actions our thankfulness for America's bounty and heritage. We are the same. We are in a different place in history. We see changes, but we are powerful people. We are like Habakkuk. We have our arguments, but we are able to cling to God and listen to him and hear what he has to say. What does he have to say to us? And it's here, chapter 2, in verse 2. "Then the Lord answered me," because the first argument wasn't satisfying enough. And this is what the Lord said. I like that idea. If the first argument isn't good enough, I can cling to him and listen for more. More. Yeah, that's beautiful. Verse 2. "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." What do you mean? Maybe write down what Habakkuk's book, write down what the Bible is saying, write down the Gospels, write down the epistles, write down the book of Acts, write it down, because you can run if you hear it. What do you mean run? Yeah, not quit, not slow down, not stay put, not freeze, not become bitter, not become upset, like emotional and frozen in a bad state of mind. You have to run. You have to run the race by clinging to God who speaks to us. Somebody in one of our churches told me about a woman, 72 years old, and he said, this woman has suffered a lot. I said, how do you mean? He said, she lost a daughter. She's had been married twice, lost both husbands. She's had cancer, and she doesn't have any money, but she works cleaning houses. She's 72 years old, and he said, she is like an angel, like she's a saint, like her spirit, her thankfulness, her attitude in life, like she's amazing. It's like, what do you... I was like curious about it, and this pastor was telling me about this woman. And I thought about hinds feet on high places. I thought about the need to be thankful when things collapse, when the fig tree doesn't bear figs, when the stall, the herd is lost, when the flock is lost, when the trouble comes. Like Habakkuk is in a bad day, like saying, I need to hear so I can run. Go to the next verse, please. It says, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, meaning not on your timetable, on God's timetable. Not the way you think it should happen, but the way he thinks it, the way, not how he thinks, how it's going to happen. In a way, you could put in here, the Messiah. When is the Messiah coming? It's at an appointed time. But I want the Messiah now. I know you do. You want the Messiah now. You want the kingdom now. You want the resurrection now. You want deliverance now. You want the country to change now. I know you do. You want the whole thing to be put right, and you want it to happen now. But it's for its appointed time. But you must be humble. Read the next verse, please. It says, the vision is yet for an appointed time, verse 3, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Do you feel that? I do. It will speak. The Messiah will come. He came, and he spoke, and did not lie. The Messiah came. What do you mean, the Messiah? Christ. He came. He spoke. He changed lives. It happened. Pentecost came. It happened to you. You accepted Christ. Christ spoke. You believed. And it does not lie. There's no lie there. You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Even when it's a disaster, in the midst of a disaster, you will be free with love in your heart and joy in your footsteps. Even when it hasn't changed on the outside, the Messiah is here to change us on the inside, and it will not lie. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will have your arguments like Habakkuk said, okay, Babylon is coming to destroy the country. Okay, but I want more from you. What do you have to say? He goes, oh, more is coming. And it was put in there. The millennium is coming. Swords will be beaten into plowshares. There will not be the disease and the death and the jails and the police. More is coming. Leadership that is righteous. The righteousness of God is coming. When? It's coming. Look at the next verse, please. It says, at the end it will speak, it will not lie, though it tarries. The word for tarries means pause. Pause button on the old tape recorders, remember? Put on your pause, or in your iPhone, the pause button. There's a pause, though it pauses. It will not wait. It's there. It will not lie. The kingdom is real. It's in our presence. If I, with the finger of God, cast out demons, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. It is in you. It is with us. It's here. The kingdom, the spirit, the mind, the heart, the faith. Go to the next one, please. It says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I want it now. You've got God now. Cling to him. I want it now. You got God now. You've got fellowship now. Cling to him. Embrace him. He has something to say to you. And this is what he says. This is the closing part of point two. Behold the proud. And we see plenty of that amongst us, in our own hearts. The proud don't want to listen. The proud are not satisfied with that answer. The proud don't want to wait. The proud get angry. They want it their way. They walk away in a huff and a puff. And they blow the house down. They're proud. Christians, proud. We lose a job, we get angry with God. We lose a child, we get angry with God. We lose our house, we get angry with God. We lose our money, we get angry with God. We lose our church, we get angry with God. How about this one? We lose our pastor, we get angry with God. Get ready, folks. There's nothing sure here except that vision where God is saying, it's coming. It's for real. Wait for it. Listen to me. I will guide you, and you will walk by faith. Look at the last part, verse 4. It says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That verse is used 3 times by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He uses it in Romans 1, Galatians 3, and Hebrews 10. It's one of the most important verses in our New Testament. The just shall live by faith. That's all. Habakkuk said, though the whole thing's a mess, I got you. I can hear you. I can trust you. I can walk by faith in you. The humbled can. The proud cannot. They go away. I asked Karen to look up reasons why people do not believe in God. And I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. They don't believe in God because they say there's no evidence. Maybe they don't want to have any. There's plenty of evidence. It's illogical. Yeah, I know, because if I want to live in sin, why would I believe in God who tells me not to sin? It's logical not to. I mean, that's one way of thinking about it. Suffering. Number 4, we don't need him. Number 5, life's better without him. Growing up in a faithless family, experiences at college, intellectual challenges, emotional challenges, wanting moral independence, issues about sex and politics. A lot of reasons not to believe. Maybe in your life you are a believer. Maybe one day your faith will be in a crisis. I want you to hear what we're saying today and think about it. I have an argument, but I bring it to the Lord and I wait and I listen. He answers me and I go, okay, but I'm looking for more. And the Lord says, there's more for you. If you live by faith in me, I will bring you into my circle. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I will speak to you. You live by faith, I will show you. I will answer you. You will be satisfied. You will grow in this and understand it. And that brings us to chapter 3. Go with me to chapter 3 where we read. This is a prayer of the Habakkuk. This is a prayer and he knows that the Messiah is coming in this prayer. He knows that there's the power of God. He knows this in his heart. He is sure about it. We know it as we live in America, as we see many dynamic elements happening, but like Ronald Reagan said, we need a renewal, a spiritual revival. We need people to find Christ in the midst of our trouble and find love and joy and peace and satisfaction. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will the joy in the God of my salvation. I have found God. I have found God. Beautiful. Lastly, Psalm 73. I want you to remember this psalm also, please, as you leave today. The book of Habakkuk in Psalm 73, in these last few verses, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? That's all that I have. Where? In heaven. What makes heaven heaven? You. You. That's all that I have in heaven is you. That's all I want is you. You are enough. None do I have in heaven. I've got my relatives. I've got a paradise. I mean, heaven, who? I mean, the city of God, beautiful. But look at what his focus is. It's you. And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. No, I desire my family on Thanksgiving Day. Yes, I know, yes, but there's more. There's you. I have a little child, or some people might say I have a dog or a cat that I love very much, or my house, or whatever it might be, my job, my hobbies, my things on earth. No, this is deeper. There's none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, we love our country, but it's not enough. You cling to him. He's everything. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, you get hurt, you get disappointed, you cling to him. He is the answer for you. No matter what happens, he will heal you. He will help you. He will comfort you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will lead you. And that's the salt and earth. I mean, salt and light that's needed on the earth. People need to meet people like you and me who have Christ in their lives. We talk on another way. We talk about all the things of life, and then we bring it to that place where we just say, oh, we need more than that. We need more than that. We need him. And let's talk about, let's bring our conversation to him. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We were found by you, not to be continually hurt and not healed, but to be in a troubled world and to be healed, to have our challenges, but find the answers, and for you to talk to us and tell us it's coming, it's coming. The proud can't wait for it. Proud are filled with themselves. They will be troubled and troubled and troubled, but the just shall live by faith. They will trust me and hear from me. Yes, bless these thoughts to our hearts, Jesus. Anyone not a believer in our midst today or on the internet, we invite you. This is between you and God. We are just the spokesman giving the invitation. God, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me. You will find rest for your soul. Come unto me and be yoked with me. I will yoke you to myself. You are born of the Spirit, born of God, and walk by faith in me, and you will know me. Say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I trust you with all my heart today. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.